Blog Talk Radio.
La notte a Terzil.
It was very late at night.
Da tempo piatra far.
I was sitting outside on a rock.
Lo stan e marata piatra che non fu la mine.
As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
Acolo stam și mă gândeam ce am făcut eu.
And I was just thinking, what did I do?
Plângeam să nu mă vadă familia.
I was crying so my family wouldn't see me.
Deodată am văzut că vine o lumină spre mine.
And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me.
Când am văzut lumina, am crezut că e o mașină.
When I saw the light, I thought it was a car.
În Italia și în România mă urmări cu mașina să mă omoare.
Because in Romania and in Italy they always try to run me over with cars.
După mine și aici.
So I thought they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină.
But it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit.
The light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde să plec.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut nu?
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California.
Ce să-ți arăt?
Do you see what I've shown you?
E Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe
foc. And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
In one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And in one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să faci?
But what will you do with me, I
said? Been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to today's broadcast. We are live on 10/25/2018, and the big news of the last couple days, and you must have been living in a cave somewhere if you didn't hear about it, everybody's getting pipe bombs. This thing stinks on so many levels, it's not even funny, and I think the narrative is about to fall apart faster than Hillary trying to walk to a van, haha. But seriously, let's talk about this. First of all, in order to call something a bomb, it must have the ability to detonate. That is one of the ways by which you know that something is indeed a bomb. Now, the problem is that officials are now saying these so-called bombs are incapable of exploding. They're poorly made. So either send a pipe in an envelope or a box of Twinkies that would have had the same effect. Notwithstanding, though, it seems every single Democrat and their neighbor has gotten on a high horse condemning Republicans for this outrageous violence. Now, where's the violence? How do you know that it's a Republican sending these envelopes? Let's break this down a little bit. Because if you start to think this through, and again, you know me, I'm not a conspiracy theorist by nature. I don't sit there and wallow in the conspiratorial trying to make sense of something. But that having been said, this thing stinks. First of all, the obvious. Somebody at CNN got an envelope with a pipe bomb in it. The stamps were, what, $3 worth? And I guess you could feasibly make a pipe bomb under 8 ounces, but it's highly doubtful. So there was $3 worth of postage on this stamp, first of all. And I mail things often enough to know that $3 isn't going to cut it. The second issue that I have with this entire drama unfolding is that none of the stamps were canceled out or validated. When you take something to the post office, it's stamped by a postal official, so you can't reuse your postage. And the thing that made me scratch my head the most was the fact that someone who supposedly was in fear for their life, seeing a pipe bomb on their desk, took the time to take a selfie with it. They took the time to photograph it. Hey, Bob, come here. Look what I got. That is not a natural reaction if you believe that your life is in danger. I'm going to repeat that. That is not a natural reaction if you believe that your life is in danger. Nobody sits there and takes a picture of a pipe bomb. They see it, they scream like a little girl, and they run out of the building. They call 911, and someone comes and disposes of it. So of all the three things that I've listed thus far, this one thing makes me doubt the veracity of this swarm of pipe bombs more than any other. If you believe that your life's in danger, you act accordingly. Unless you've suffered brain damage, and I guess that's feasible because this person does work at CNN, and so brain trauma and CNN employees go hand in hand. However, one might still be a wee bit skeptical of the fact that an individual believing their life to be in imminent danger took the time to pull the pipe bomb out of the envelope, lay it on a desk, and take a couple pictures of it. Now, another thing that's not so obvious, but that becomes obvious when you start to think about it, when you start to contemplate, is the overkill of the scenario. As of now, there's been, what, 10 that were sent out to what some might deem enemies of Trump. Because, see, they had to tie it all together. They had to tie it in with Donald Trump somehow. And I would, if I were a betting man, I would wager a substantial amount of money that when this whole thing clears, when the dust settles, when the individual is apprehended, it will not be a Republican. It will not be a Trump supporter. It will either be somebody with severe mental issues or a Democrat who, you know, in between screaming at the Supreme Court doors and howling at the moon, decided to make Republicans look bad by sending faulty pipe bombs to what they deem to be the baker's dozen of liberal fools. It makes no sense at this juncture for a Republican to send these things out. The Democrats are losing on every level. Their entire caravan shtick backfired on them in dramatic fashion. They have nothing left. A friend of mine posted something on Facebook. He says, they really are dumb. No, they're not dumb. They're desperate. This is what desperation begets you. They're realizing that they're losing on all fronts. They have no ideas. They have no arguments. They have no reasonable reason to give anyone even a passing thought of voting for them. And so someone decided to resort to this. Is it going to work? Probably not. The only thing that they can hope is that the identity of the so-called bomber, and again, I can't call him a bomber because none of them blew up. Can someone feasibly be called a bomber if the thing that they built does not explode? I can call myself a mechanic, but if I can't fix a car, I'm not really a mechanic. Now, I know that some of you will take it the wrong way. Oh, are you wishing they'd blown up? No, absolutely not. Any loss of human life is tragic. But let's not start calling a guy a bomber simply because he took a pipe and filled it with some glass and shipped it. Oddly enough, two packages, none of which had the stamps canceled out by the post office. Just another thought. I think when this thing starts to unravel once more, the Democrat Party will have a lot of egg on its face. Once more, they're going to be basically exposed for the frauds and fools that they are. Because like I said, there is no rational, straight-thinking Republican that would choose this time to do this in the hopes of swaying an election towards the Republicans. We're doing just fine beating the stuffing out of them without any of this nonsense. But you kind of see that nonstop, 24/7, the entire discussion and narrative has shifted to pipe bombs. Not how well the economy's doing, not regarding the fact that we're sending, 800 soldiers to defend the border, and that General Mattis is on the case. And you know what? If Mattis is on it, there will be no suffering of fools. Let's put it that way. The man has seen war. The man knows what it takes to win, and he's not gonna dilly dally. Now, I know some don't call it an invasion force. However, if you have what now, it's 14,000. Last week it was 7, or 5, or 2. Now it's 14,000 adult, mostly adult males of fighting age, marching with the Guatemalan flag at their head. What would you, pray tell, call that? I know, it's not an invasion. Look, at best, you can call them economic migrants. Meaning, there's poverty in my country, I'm going to go next door where there's money. And for those of you that think I'm heartless, we discussed this before. We discussed the notion of immigration. I'm going to discuss it again tonight because you need to understand the whole situation from the point of view and perspective of a legal immigrant. Because the Democrats did think that this was a winning issue for them. They thought there's enough immigrants in this country that are going to feel empathy and sympathy with us because we support the caravan coming here. But what they didn't figure into the equation, because they never do, because they're sloppy, is the fact that most people who are immigrants to this country are immigrants here legally. They had to endure months and months of paperwork and officials and interviews and all this other stuff so that they can call themselves not citizens but residents of these United States. Fast forward another 5 to 7 to 10 years, and finally, after going to take your nationalization exam, after being interviewed once more by officials and proving that you are an able-bodied net gain to the nation, you are naturalized. You stand there, you hold your hand over your heart, and that's how you become a citizen. And so anybody that's gone through this whole mess, anybody that's gone through being made a legal resident, then being naturalized as a citizen, doesn't look too fondly at someone who decides one day they're just going to swim across the Rio Grande and become an American. And that's even that is being generous, because most of these people don't want to become Americans. They're burning American flags after they've drawn swastikas on them. It's not like they want to come here and integrate. It's not like they want to come here and be part of the social fabric. No, they want to come here and leech. And if they can't get stuff for free, they'll take what they want by force. Let's have a little analysis here. Let's give you an example of what exactly is happening so that you can better understand. Let's, for the sake of argument, imagine that we are neighbors. You own the house on the right. I live in the house on the left. Now, for the better part of 2, 3, 4 decades, I absolutely destroy my house. I take a sledgehammer to the walls. I finger paint on my windows. I let strangers come and defecate in the corners. Whatever, the worst possible thing you can imagine, I do to my house. And all of a sudden, one day, I have an epiphany. I look around and say to myself, "Self, this adobe is no longer habitable. I cannot live here. There's feces in the corner. There's no electricity. There's no running water. There's holes in the roof. There's rats and mice everywhere. I think I'm going to go over to my neighbor's house. I'm going to kick in his door and declare that I am now living with him." Now, my neighbor might actually be a nice guy, might be a decent, hardworking, empathetic individual. And when he hears of my plight, he says to himself, "This is my chance to do some good. So, neighbor, you are welcome to come and stay in my home. Mi casa es su casa," as they would say in California. Now, a day goes by, then a week, then a month, and the neighbor into whose house the man who destroyed his own house moved begins to realize something very disturbing. The neighbor on which he had pity, the neighbor to which he showed empathy, is treating his house like he treated the house he abandoned because it was falling apart. What to do, what to do? Because now this man, even though he was well-meaning and well-intentioned, has someone living in his house who started to put holes in the wall, who started to defecate in the corner, who started to let food rot in the sink, And he's realizing how grave a mistake he's made. But the damage is already done. The horse done fled out the barn. The man is living in his house. And when he tries to mention the fact that he should try to keep it a little clean, you know, maybe help out a little bit, his neighbor who had come hat in hand giving the sob story of sob stories now threatens him and says, "You're not the boss of me. Who do you think you are, you racist?" And that's pretty much how it happens. That is what happens. People from third world nations that have fallen apart because of their policies decide one day to trek to these United States, not to amalgamate, not to become part of the fabric, but to bring the ideology that ruined their first nation to this nation that they might in turn ruin this nation like they ruined theirs. And this is what the Democratic Party really, really hopes is going to happen. They hope that enough people come to this country from other countries that embraced socialism long ago and are now hellholes, that they'll keep voting them into power. And eventually, given enough time, this once great nation will likewise become a hellhole. End of lesson. You need to understand that people who take the time to come here legally come with the full intent and intention of assimilating, because they sacrificed something, they gave up something in order to be here. They gave up their time. They went through the process, and believe you me, it's not an easy process. Look, my brother-in-law flew back to the States recently, and he's on a visitor's visa. And because he was traveling alone, they held him for 3 hours and just questioned him and grilled him what he was doing back so early. And I told him, "You're a fool. You could have just flown into Mexico and swam across the river. Nobody would have paid you any mind. Might have even found someone along the way to give you a few $100 to carry a backpack over. What's in the backpack? I don't know, senor. Did you want the money or not?" We are in a very existential crisis here. Please understand this. I know that it's easy to gloss over. What's another 14,000? Well, you know, the number is getting up to 20, 30 million-ish of what they call undocumented, what the law calls illegal aliens in this country. I don't know about you, but if, I don't know, let's be conservative. 2% of 30 million people bear this nation ill will. That's still a lot of people that can really start doing some damage. Just a thought. Because I know human nature and our Christian inclination embrace everyone. But the Word of God also tells us to be wise. You don't bring a viper to your bosom, because chances are better than not that the viper will attempt to bite you. You do not allow into your nation a horde of individuals who on their way to your nation are burning your nation's flag and drawing swastikas on it. I don't know about you, but something smells. You get the idea that maybe they want to be here for the wrong reasons? Get the idea that maybe they're not here to assimilate, And see, that's where the Democrats did the math wrong. They thought that people would be empathetic and make Donald Trump out to be a monster because he was defending our borders. But the optics of it made a lot of people stand back and go, whoa, that's a lot of middle-aged men there. They found one lady to interview who had like 8 kids, and I got in for a job. I want a job. So she, it wasn't that she was persecuted. She was an economic migrant, meaning she wanted to come to America to work. And people who want to come to America to work have to do it legally. They have to go to the embassy. They got to go apply, and maybe they'll let you in, or maybe they won't let you in. But them's the rules. But yeah, it's the optics of it turned ugly for the Democrats real quick, because you saw a horde. That's what it is. It's a horde of people. None of them look beaten down. They all look well-fed and freshly shaven and ready to fisticuffs. And meanwhile, you have people that applied legally for residency, that applied legally to have work visas in this country, that have been waiting for 6, 7, 8 years. And they're not even in the top 20. They're still somewhere in the middle of the stack. You want to talk about fairness? Talk about that fairness. And so I do believe, contextualizing everything that has occurred over the last 2 weeks, that this whole pipe bomb narrative is a very convenient distraction for the Democrats. It takes the focus off of the policies that they're pushing on the American populace. Because, to be perfectly frank with you, I don't believe, unless they're self-hating or suicidal, I don't believe a majority of Democrats are all in with the policies of this new Democratic Party. These people are naked communists. They've made their platform very clear. They want to take everything from everybody and be in charge of distributing it back to everybody in the way that they see fit, in the way that they see it as fair. And when you see absolute knuckle-dragging idiots that are hoping to get people's votes to be senators and congressmen, when you see that they can't string two words together, when you see that they're absolute buffoons repeating talking points like they were monkeys, you start to realize that these are the people that are going to be in charge of redistributing the wealth once they've taken it from everyone. And that's when people start to get concerned. And that's when people go out and buy a gun license. And this is why they're fighting against the Second Amendment tooth and nail, because they know they can't have socialist utopia while the majority of the citizenry is locked and loaded, for lack of a better term. They know that they cannot have a socialist utopia as long as the average citizen has a way of defending his home, of defending his family, of defending his property from all enemies, foreign and domestic. So this is a battle on many fronts. It's not just a battle on one front. It's a battle on many fronts, and they needed the distraction now because the midterms, dear kids, are not going in their favor. For those of you that haven't been listening for the past few weeks, I told you they'd shot themselves in the face with the Kavanaugh thing a month and a half ago. Whatever their internal polling is showing, it's showing them losing. And so this is it. This is the Hail Mary. This is the last trick in the bag. Let's start sending each other pipes, pretending they're bombs, so that we can say, look at the Republicans. They're as mean as we are. I'm sorry, but you know what? It wasn't any of our senators or congressmen that were calling for violence. It wasn't any of our senators or congressmen that were calling for people to get in their faces and stick their fingers in their food and poke them in the chest and tell them how you really feel. So if anyone's stoking violence, it's the Maxine Waterses of the world. But I guarantee you, as sure as today is Thursday, October the 25th, they will find a way to try to put and pin this on Donald Trump. Man has never called for violence. He mocks CNN, and rightly so. He calls them fake news, and rightly so. He calls them the enemy of the people, and that's what propagandists are. Because if you quack like a duck and you walk like a duck, you're not a rooster, kid. You're a duck. So if you don't want to be called the enemy of the people, stop being a propagandist. Stop carrying the water of the Communist Party. But let's get back to this article, because this was breaking news as I came on regarding the pipe bombs. And this story is going to die so quickly. Nothing's going to come of it. They're going to find some miscreant Democrat. Because you know what? I shouldn't even go here because I'm going to get letters, but I don't care. If it was a Republican doing this, if it was someone with prior experience in the armed forces, these things wouldn't be duds. They'd actually be going off. There'd be something to them. But if you've been living in your mama's basement for the last 36 years and you had to watch TV shows to figure out how to make a pipe bomb, well, there you go. So that's another reason why this kind of stinks. It's very suspicious. But the article, and this is by NBC News, so you know it's true. Two suspicious packages found Thursday addressed to former Vice President Joe Biden and another sent to Robert De Niro at his office in downtown Manhattan are similar to the pipe bombs sent to political and media figures in the past few days, according to the FBI. One package addressed to Biden was discovered at a postal facility in Newcastle, Delaware, and another was found at a postal facility in Wilmington, Delaware, officials say. They suspected Wednesday that a package addressed to Biden was somewhere within the postal system. What made them suspect that? Just a question. The package sent to De Niro was found at 375 Greenwich Street, the site of the restaurant and Tribeca Grill, which the actor co-owns, and the offices of De Niro's Tribeca Productions. There was no need to evacuate because the building was empty, police said. An employee of De Niro's called authorities around 4 a.m. Eastern on Thursday after he realized the package he had seen earlier in the week looked like the others he had seen, officials say. The employee is a retired NYPD detective, according to John Miller, the NYPD's Deputy Commissioner of Intelligence and Counterterrorism. He was awake and watching the news and saw the image of the packaging that had been common to most of these devices as they have turned up at various locations. And it struck him that it looked very much like a package he had seen on Tuesday in the mail he was screening for Robert De Niro Productions at their offices. Investigators are looking into whether some of the packages were sent from Florida, two senior law enforcement officials told NBC News. Three officials said that they believed all of the packages were sent through the mail. If that is the case, If all of the packages were sent through the mail, then why haven't any of the stamps been canceled out or voided? And how exactly can you send a pipe bomb for $3? I'd like to know. I'd be saving a bundle on books if that was the case. The CNN package arrived by mail to a screening facility in Midtown Manhattan before being delivered by courier to the CNN offices, an official said. The package was not screened because it was relatively small. The devices were poorly made, and some discovered could not have exploded. But it's unclear if that was intentional or if they were just badly constructed, officials said. They said some of the bombs had substantial flaws, some had subtle flaws, and some have yet to be examined. Now, my question is this, and it's a very poignant question because the way they phrased this is very suspicious to me. Listen to this. The devices were poorly made and some discovered could not have exploded. But it's unclear if that was intentional or if they were just badly constructed, officials said. They said some of the bombs had substantial flaws, some had subtle flaws, and some have yet to be examined. Question. How many of those examined could have exploded? Don't you think that's a good question to ask? Because right now you have three categories, none of which are going boom, boom. Okay? You have bombs with substantial flaws, you have some with subtle flaws, and you have some that are yet to be examined. So, inquiring minds do want to know. Of those that have been examined, how many could have exploded? And this is something that they do not relay in the article. This is something that they don't want to go near. Think on that. What, the number's up to 10 right now. I don't know how many they've inspected. But of those they inspected, some had substantial flaws, some had subtle flaws, and none have been confirmed that they could have exploded. Dwell on that for a second. Contemplate it. Think on it. Ruminate. Masticate. Chew on it. And tell me if that makes sense to you. Because if someone sends a pipe bomb with the intent and intention of doing harm, they'll take the time and do the research and actually put together something that can go boom, boom. Because it doesn't matter how myopic an individual might be. When you start down this path, when you start sending out things that look like pipe bombs, whether they can explode or not, you know that eventually someone will come knocking at your door with a nice shiny badge and a gun full of bullets. Is no way in today's day and age with the forensic abilities that they have at their disposal that this individual will not be caught sooner rather than later. There's absolutely no way. And if this individual was smart enough to quote unquote put together a pipe bomb, they should be smart enough to realize that they're getting caught. Sooner or later, they're getting caught. Everyone does. Why would you go through the trouble of sending out hoax devices when you're likely going to do as much time for a hoax device as for a real one. If your intent and intention was to hurt people to begin with. So yes, the devices were poorly made. Some discovered could not have exploded. Some had substantial flaws. Some had subtle flaws. And some have yet to be examined. And I guarantee you that those that have yet to be examined, if they find one that is capable of going boom, boom, it'll be front page news. Even if some of the explosives were defective, NYPD Commissioner James O'Neill said they're treating them as live devices. Of course they are. As you saw, the way our bomb squad detectives went into CNN yesterday, this has to be taken with the utmost seriousness. So after the selfies, after putting it on a desk and taking pictures of it and tweeting it out, here came the cavalry. The bomb detectives, the bomb squad came in and they did what they do best. They took it with the utmost seriousness. And this James O'Neill goes on to say that as far as if they were hoax devices, we're not treating it that way. Officials said they're not aware of any new devices being discovered but are still concerned. There could be more, and cautioned anyone who comes across a potential package of this type to treat it as dangerous, even though as yet none have been proven to have the ability or possibility to go boom. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio said the device sent to De Niro was taken to a bomb squad facility in the Bronx. And of course, here comes the political angle. This is clearly an effort to terrorize people politically, to choose people for political purposes and attack them because of their beliefs, de Blasio said. This is the kind of thing we've seen before in this city, and we reject it, and we will not be intimidated by it. What camp did you see it from? Senor Bill, you communist hack. Who was the terrorizer? Yeah, that's what I thought. The package was addressed to De Niro, a frequent critic of President Donald Trump, and of course, see, I told you, they have to tie in Donald Trump, because otherwise it wouldn't make sense. A frequent critic of President Donald Trump, officials said, noting that the envelope is similar to the ones found Wednesday, including a return address that belonged to Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Trump wrote in a tweet Thursday morning that a very big part of the anger we see today in our society is caused by the purposely false and inaccurate reporting of the mainstream media that I refer to as fake news. And I agree with him. The president's remarks came after he called for unity and civility before a bill signing event at the White House on Wednesday afternoon as the packages were being discovered. He said at an event Wednesday night that Americans should stop treating political opponents as morally defective, not compare political opponents to historical villains, and not mob people in public. Like I said, this too is going to backfire on the Democrats, because what he said is exactly what they've been doing. I don't see anybody calling Hillary Clinton Hitler, but I see a lot of people, including some Christians, calling Donald Trump Hitler, the Antichrist, Pol Pot, Stalin, the devil himself, and many, many other things. Reports of the latest package come after bombs were sent. They're not bombs! Did any go boom? Did any go boom? If it do not go boom, it is not a bomb. But of course, they have to call it a bomb because that's the way to get the blood pumping. If it's just a toy, if it's just a useless piece of plastic, not as scary as saying bomb. But yes, the package came after bombs were sent to former President Barack Obama, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Now, who else got them? Let's finish, because otherwise you'll say I'm biased. But former CIA Director John Brennan, former Attorney General Eric Holder, Maxine Waters. Now, what was it, a week or two ago? General Mattis got ricin in the mail. Trump's kids got ricin in the mail, or white substance that made somebody sick. That was on the news for 30 seconds. A silly putty and some pipe has been the only thing the news has been talking about for 2 days straight. So, I am unwilling to call it a bomb unless one of them goes boom. Whether in a controlled environment or because the FBI detonated it, I want to see it go boom. Because right now, the only thing we know is that whoever this is, it's not the brightest bulb in the attic. The FBI has sent those devices to its laboratory in Quantico, Virginia, or Quantico, if you are, you know, American, for analysis. Law enforcement officials said that the bombs examined so far were potentially deadly. Bill Bratton, who led the police departments in Boston, New York, and Los Angeles, said on MSNBC that because the FBI is working with so many bombs, they will be able to more easily determine where they came from and their intended purpose. Good news today is that the FBI has a number of these devices. They're going to be in position to disassemble to determine their functionality. Were they ever intended to actually function? And if so, how? I want to say by telekinesis. They were intended to function by telekinesis. You think about it really hard, and it'll go boom. They were never intended to function. They were intended to give the Democrats a narrative. That was their intent. And my only hope and prayer is that they discover the individual soon enough where it'll backfire so monumentally on the entire corrupt citadel of the Democrat Party that they won't even show up to apologize. They'll just slink into their darkened quarters like the sewer rats that they are. The building back of the investigation is going to be assisted tremendously by the fact that there are so many of these things. 10 of them! 10, I say! He added. And there's the potential for a slip-up. O'Neill said he was confident police and FBI agents would get to the bottom of this soon. We're investigating all of this with great precision. Indubitably. I can say with certainty that we will identify and arrest a person or people responsible for these acts. I hope you do it soon, sir, even though how many times was the FBI called on the kid that did the school shooting in Florida? So I'm not holding my breath. I think that, and again, This is the conspiratorial me, okay? I'm going to throw that out there up front. I think if this individual was a Republican or had any sort of Republican leaning, his name would have leaked by now. I think that chances are better than good that there's already a suspect or suspects on the radar. There have to be. There were 10 of these things. The guy wasn't bright enough to build a functional one. So somewhere along the way, he took off the plastic glove to scratch his nose and touched the silly putty with his thumb or some ridiculous thing. I guarantee you. So it's going to be curious how this whole thing plays out. But like I said, I think it's going to be... another thing that just blows back on the Democrat Party, because they're desperate. They've reached the point of desperation. They've got absolutely nothing to run on. The economy is doing relatively well. Everything they said that Donald Trump would do, he hasn't done. Such as starting World War III, tanking the economy, becoming a despot, I don't know, whatever else idiot thing they said. So all they have is hate. That's it. And I think hate only carries you so far. I think there's a handful of people that have legitimately lost perspective, that have legitimately lost their minds, and they are honestly believing that a majority of the country have lost their minds along with them, and they haven't. Most people, whether Democrat or Republican, are happy about the fact that there's a little more money in their paycheck. They're happy about the fact that their property value has gone up a little bit. If they've got a retirement account, they're really happy because their retirement accounts are just gangbusters. So I was always skeptical about the idea of a blue wave. Those of you that listen to the program regularly already know my feeling on it. But I think that they're so certain of a red tsunami that they needed to do something in the hopes of not making it as horrible as they know it'll be. I hope, and this is my hope, honestly, I hope this is as far as they're going to go this time, because unstable people are unstable. It is by the definition thereof, it's very difficult to predict what exactly an unstable individual is capable of doing. I hope that this is as far as they're willing to go, because I can think of a couple scenarios. If they keep seeing that the trend and the numbers are not in their favor, if they keep seeing that their loss is a certainty, my fear is that they'll do something worse. And yes, there is always something worse. As to what that is, I think you'll know it when you see it. So be vigilant. Be wise. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt, because the propagandists are still propagandizing. They're still trying to establish a narrative. And they're still doing their utmost to undermine the will of the American people. The one thing that I can say is that with each passing day, I see the potential of civil unrest in this country growing incrementally. I don't know how much more time we have before it blows over, before it boils over. but I do pray that God's mercy has not run out. I do pray that we are given yet more time to do what we must. And with that, I thank you all for joining us. I thank you for taking the time to fellowship with us. Lord willing, we will be here again next week, live, and by then it'll be a whole new narrative. It'll be a whole new drama, because they can't let people have a breath to think things out logically. Because when that happens, they know they've already lost. All right, God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, Gino, it's all yours.
Thank you, brother. How important it is to pray for the president and our leaders. And as Mike spoke, the narrative is changing every week. It's amazing. You can honestly admit that this administration, for the limited time they've been in power, has been under absolute tremendous persecution. I find it amazing, too, that 3 days ago Trump came out and wants to delineate gender by DNA being male or female, which would totally abolish the transgender misnomer. And all these things happen while he's trying to get us back to a level of sanity. I really believe, without a doubt, I encourage all of you. Monday night we had prayer here in Watertown, and my wife had a powerful vision of arrows being shot at Trump. And there is no doubt how accurate that is. And God, through his Holy Spirit, is able to tell us and show us what the plan of the enemy is. And I think Mike gave a great narrative on the deception out there and the desire of the left, liberals, and vile, absolute vile insanity, where if people could destroy Trump, and they would, and whatever methods they would use, it seems like they go from one vile method to another. And so he needs our prayer. Pray for our leaders. Pray that November 6th, the church people get out and vote, and vote for our values, our faith-based values, and what's right before the Lord. We need a turnaround in America. Thank you for listening tonight to the Light of Truth broadcast.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all